fellowship. We're so glad that you're here. And if you're visiting, we just want to say thank you for worshiping with us, for joining us online. Thank you as well for spending some morning your morning with us. A little update. I told you last week that I'm really disappointed that I went to class and found that there's no more chapter ahead. Some of you guys said, oh, yeah, they've been on us. I'm sure a lot of them are. So before they talk about us, they need to go. So Easter is over. It's over. So this morning we're going to continue on with our current series. Actually, wrapping it up. We spent the last 3 weeks talking about resurrection hope. And in the first week, we looked at on Easter, Mary Magdalene's journey to the tomb, where she was expecting to find Jesus dead and still buried there. And what she encountered was a risen Savior. And we learned that basically her hope was restored, especially to this idea that the worst things in life don't have to be the last things in life that we experience. And so Mary had her hope restored. Last week we looked at how resurrected hope can restore the most broken relationships. And so we looked at Jesus' encounter with Peter post-resurrection. And so how that relationship was restored and Peter was full of hope for the future as it came to that. And this morning, we're going to look at Jesus meets us in our grief and sorrow. And this is where we're going to wrap up. The Gospels are full of stories of Jesus' interactions with people that shine a light on his love and compassion. We're going to look at one of those stories this morning. Now, one of the most powerful resurrection moments actually happens before his own. And so, in the foreshadowing, we're going to see as we read through Scripture what would happen to Jesus, as well as what will happen to all who put their faith in Jesus. So, in the Bible this morning, we're going to open up to John 11. Scripture will be on the screen too, so if you don't have a Bible, don't worry, you can follow along there as well. But we're going to ask you to stand at this time. It's always kind of a tradition here that we stand for the Word of God and we sit for the morning. So, but I just want to open the prayer first. God, we just thank you for this time that we come into your house, God, that we can worship you in song, and now, Lord, we can worship you with our minds and our hearts, God. We ask that your Holy Spirit just open our eyes to see things fresh, especially maybe one of the scriptures that we've read before. So just reveal what it is that you want to communicate. We ask this in Jesus' name today. So starting in verse 1, we're going to read verses 1 through 7, and we're going to jump to 17 through 44. And I encourage you to read the whole thing, 1 through 44, but this is key to our story today. Now, a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sister sent him, saying, Lord, he who you love is ill. But when Jesus heard this, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. And then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. Now jumping down to verse 17. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their love. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, the teacher is here and he's calling for you. When she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. And Jesus had not come yet into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house and saw her, saw Mary rise quickly and go When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her were also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and great trouble. And he said, "Where are you leaving?" And they said, "Lord, come and see." And Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Could not he have opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?" And then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone laid against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to the Lord, "But by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." And Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you receive the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on the account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said these things, he cried out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" And the man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped in a cloth. And Jesus said to him, "Unbind him and let him go." Today we're introduced to Mary and Martha and a man named Lazarus. So the family is heartbroken to find that Mary and Martha's brother, Lazarus, is gravely ill, and as we know, eventually dies here. We know that Jesus apparently has a history of attached to his family. We know that Jesus spent time with Mary and Martha in their home. And Lazarus is described in the passage here as a person that Jesus loves. So the sisters sent word to Jesus to come quickly. But surprisingly, we read Jesus' response when we find out that Lazarus is sick, is that he decides to stay 2 more days where he is before he comes. He's not rushed into the situation. He doesn't feel like there's this urgency that he has to respond. And the question, I think, for a lot of us is why? Why doesn't he come right away? Why does he come when they call for his help? I mean, people are thinking about it. We see that the Jews that were with other people, they were thinking, "Hey, this is the guy that got these blind men's eyes, but he can't come and save this man." And I think for each of us, if we read this passage, I think we can relate to this. I think we've all found ourselves in some situation over our lifetime where we've needed Jesus' help. And we have prayed. Maybe it's been a diagnosis of sickness that we need healing from. Maybe it was a broken relationship that we know that could only be fixed unless Jesus got involved and helped out. Maybe it's been a dream for our family or our careers. Or maybe it's something we just need him to show up for. And yet, he's nowhere in sight. It feels like that. We're crying out, we're asking God, why? Where are you? The picture behind me right now is picture of my son, okay? And if you guys have already noticed for the people that have been there, you know that he's not with us. For my wife and I, this was our moment. It's not been the only moment that we cried out to Jesus for help, but it's been a big moment in our life. In 2005, we came with our second child, and my wife was going through routine checkups and things like that, and I think right around the 7 month mark is when she went for a routine sonogram, and they discovered something that was troubling them. And they said, "Well, we have a C-specialist and things like that." And so they started to talk to us about this condition called CDH, congenital diaphragmatic hernia. What it means is simply each of us have a diaphragm in our body, but the babies with this condition, their diaphragms have not formed. And so the danger in all this is that the diaphragm helps keep your low organs and your upper organs. And so what they worry about, and they don't know until they learn, is how much of the low organs have impacted the growth of the upper organs. And what's up there? Your heart and your lungs. And so a lot of CDH babies, they don't fully have lungs that are formed. And so not until they're born, whether the baby can survive outside of the lungs. So my wife carried all the way and actually became a month early. At 8 months, he was already 8 pounds and so many ounces. And he was born, he was totally normal. But in this case, they take the baby right out of the delivery room and rush him right into going to get through this. God's going to answer our prayers the way we want. He's going to show up in a powerful way. And the truth is, he didn't.
Frustrated with God, and they're angry, and they express it.
And then how many people are you seeing the same thing? They're angry with God and they express it by not being doing it. I'm mad. This is what's going on. You don't escape this, right? So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. And Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Guess what Mary says? She's got the same idea in this very deal. Now Mary came and says, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Pretty emphatic about what they believe about what Jesus could do, but what he didn't do. We're told that Mary had gathered in front of the support family that the Lord was assassinated. Martha knew Jesus as he arrived, and Mary had greatly increased. And I think this portion of the passage reveals such a raw emotion. Out of sadness and broken heart, Mary and Martha tell Jesus, "If you would only have been here, you would not have died." I think the beauty of the Bible is that it's always so honest about the complicated relationship between the created and the creator. The relationship between humans and God almost is rarely tight. Throughout the Book of Psalms, we see some of the most emotional writings of poetry that has ever been written. And sometimes the writings are full, hearts full of joy, and other times they're broken. This seems to be where Mary and Martha find themselves broken. If you had only been there. For me, when we were in the hospital, I had Pastor Christ who encouraged me to begin the work during those 20 days. I mean, they didn't know how to do it, but I remember, I can't remember who it was, he said, "Start reading through the song." He started. Psalm 1 and 2. And so that's what I did. But I got to Psalm 13 and I couldn't get away from it. It summed out perfectly how I was feeling. Let me share that with some of you. It starts off this way. "O Lord, how long will you forget me? Forever? How long will you look the other way? How long was I struggling with anguish in my soul, the sorrow of my heart, every day? How long will my enemy have the upper hand?" Man, for me, the enemy was the illness that my power filled me. What felt like God was fully deaf to my prayers. Man, I was digging this. I was full in on this passage. It felt like we were praying but getting no answers. And yet, I know God was working. I just was blinded by my pain and my sorrow in that way. And here's the part that really resonated with me. This is what David writes. He says, "Turn and answer me, O Lord. Do you hear his cry out to God?" How many of you guys have been there where you're just like, "Answer me, God"? David's in this place right now. I don't know what it is that David's going through, but as I was reading, I was like, that's where I am right now. "The sword has sparkled to my eyes while I was dying. Do not let my enemies boast, saying, 'We had defeated him,' and don't let them rejoice at my hand fall." See, I believe my heart got to heal my son, and I wanted it to be for his glory, and I wanted people to say, "How look God did." And yet, nothing. Then this is the part that really confused me. This is why I came to pass on 13. It concludes with this: "But I trust in your unfailing love, and I will rejoice because you have rescued me. I will sing to the Lord for just one week." And I was kind of like, what? And there's speculation that David was 5'4". This kind of summed that up for me right there. I'm like, how do you go from one extreme, yelling at God, "Tell me, answer me in my prayer," and then the next part says, "But I praise you. I trust you, and I love you, and I praise you." I just sat with that verse for the rest of the time I was in the hospital, trying to make sense of it. My frustration with God was real. My confusion was real. And my questions were real. I think it's fair to say Mary and Martha were angry. They're confused, they're in anguish. They once hoped that Jesus would come and turn things around, but now they have lost hope. What I love about this story is that Jesus never gets upset. Never reprimands him. "How dare you talk to me this way?" Doesn't get frustrated, not offended, and is not afraid of their emotions. Instead, take a look at how he responds. Verse 25, 26 says this. He responds to that by saying, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he dies, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? He reminds once again that those who place their faith in God and trust in him, death is not the end. He reminds them that as a foreshadowing of the Easter miracle, that he is the resurrection and the life. So my encouragement to everybody this morning is this. Don't be afraid to see the devil without a seat. That's your turn. Allow yourself to be vulnerable before him. You've got to fix him. He knows what it's like to suffer. When we begin to live, I think, with this kind of honesty, I believe that's when we begin to experience the resurrection of hope. We discover that loss we have to experience is not the end of the story. The Bible tells us that God is everything in our lives. The good, bad, the ugly, the ultimate good. The ultimate good. So talk to God about what it is that you're going through. Something won't happen. He's not going to turn away. In fact, what we see here in the passage is what? In John 11, is this. When Jesus saw our weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and great trouble. And he said, where have you laid him? And he said to him, Lord, come and see. And what are we reading? Jesus Christ. The shortest verse in the Bible. He weeps. He's touched in his core. He witnessed the profound grief in him. The Bible simply says that Jesus left the tribe. And though Jesus, in his divinity, saw a bigger picture of that, in his humanity, love like this. He was moved to tears. He was moved to tears. Somebody needs to hear this this morning. I'm confident in this, that when you weep, Jesus weeps as well. When you hurt, Jesus hurts. When your heart breaks, Jesus finds grace. Scripture tells us in the beautiful book of your Psalms that God is close to brokenhearted. He binds up all their wounds, as well as Psalm 34 and Psalm 47. And during those 20 days for us in the hospital, through the time that passed that for us, Jim and I felt the love of the Lord that we never felt before. We saw the hands of Jesus moving in others. We felt his presence, his compassion, but never felt before. It's hard to explain. No, we know we live in a world where sickness is a reality. This point is well too common. And relationships can be painful. We have a God who is not so much far off and uninterested. But we have a God who enters our pain. He enters our pain and brings healing. Look again here at John 11, 39, and verses 43 and 44. Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone laid against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time they will be in order, for he's been dead for 4 days. We're jumping down to 43. When he had said these things, he cried out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And the man who had died came out, his hands and his feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped while Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. Jesus comes to the tomb and tells people to remove the stone that blocked the entrance. Oddly enough, we're going to read a few chapters later, right? Another subject. Jesus was resurrected. His victory over sin and death is what allows us to hope that we can overcome anything in this life as well. Martha is instantly concerned that Lazarus is dead for 4 days. She's concerned about the smell. But Jesus reminds Martha and others that faith is the key to resurrecting him. With faith, we will see the glory of God in miracles that can only come by the power and presence of Jesus. And today, I want to conclude with the same thought we started out day one of Pentecost, that Jesus brings the advance to life. The kind of story that seems to be the theme of Jesus' life ministry. He has come to bring new life to everything, everyone. And in this story, Jesus brings the dead man back to life. And I believe this, that in our lives, Jesus will bring the resurrection to the places that we feel best. The joy that we've had has been being bring back to life. The dreams that we've had for our future, being bring back to life. Resurrected relationships, resurrected purpose, resurrected hope. Jesus can do anything that might bring you in. So let me just say this real quickly, that although Tim and I, medically speaking, still don't have answers for why our son was born the way he was, we do know this, that our son brought people to Jesus. When we were planning his funeral, my wife was determined to make a celebration of life. She said this is the only birthday I get to throw him into a big one. And in doing that, I think we confused a lot of people. You know, we had people who believed in Jesus, and we had people who didn't believe in Jesus, that were there as supporters. And when they walked in, they saw praise music being played, and just a sense of joy. People were confused because of the hope that we have for Jesus, for those who didn't believe in us. And it's funny, though, the idea that this life isn't what it's all about. We make too much, I think, about this event. Even as Christians sometimes, we forget about it, but there is eternity yet to come. The greatest truth that I was reminded about in my son's passing was this, that if I could ask you today, would you spend a few more days here on earth with me? Would you? And the simple answer to that is no doubt all. This is what we believe about him. It's what Jesus is doing. For those who put his faith in him, he's taking dead things and doing them for us. And life is eternal in him. So this morning I want to invite you guys, maybe for the first time, that though your heart could be hurting, you're not alone. Jesus is. Those all the peace in your life that you've been given may not make sense. You can trust that God has a purpose for everything. But you see it's a big picture. Jesus' resurrection reminds us of the worst things in life and of the last things that we believe are what we're experiencing. God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this time that we can spend your word and be reminded of your love and your compassion. You care for us. When we are hurting, you hurt for us. You understand the pain of this world. I believe it's what moved you to come. To heal the broken things. But Jesus, we say thank you. Lord, I pray for